today is one of hope. So don't tune out. Don't fall asleep. Don't worry about the time. God is with us. He loves us. He provides for us. He takes care of us. He protects us. Jesus is not blind to our troubles or our circumstances, even when we think he's nowhere to be found. He's actually there. He calls us to come to him. He calls us to follow him. He prays for us, and he shows up when we need him. So there it is in a nutshell, all right? In the scripture lessons today, we see all different parts of people's stories of faith. Okay? You've heard me say it, and you're going to hear me say it one more time, at least, that every time we have an interaction with Almighty God, it forces a choice on our part. Are we going to trust, or are we going to run? In the Old Testament, Job, right? Most of us know the story of Job. And we say, good heavens, please don't let that be me. famously struggled with God, right? And here God is kind of calling Job to the carpet and saying, really? Really, buddy? Who do you think you are? Where were you when I did all this? Why don't you tell me if you think you're so smart? In the epistle lesson, right, we see the apostle writing about living a life of service, following after Jesus. You know, he's saying, you know, no matter what happens, we trust the Lord. In all circumstances, we're coming to you, no matter what, because Christ has changed our lives and we live a different way, following a different master than we used to before we came to know Christ. It's a changed life. It's transformation. And the evidence of that transformation is seen in the way that those that are following Jesus walk it out. And you can see that in the epistle lesson today. In the gospel, there's this beautiful crisis point. I'm glad I wasn't there, I think, in the lives of those that were in the boat, right? They're in the boat and they face death. They finally come to the end of themselves and finally trust, and they cry out to Jesus because they've got nothing left, and look at his faithfulness and look at his power. So have you ever had a time in your life where it seems like everything was against you? If you've lived long enough, probably at some point you felt that. Maybe you're in that place now where you feel like it's coming in on all sides. I'm really trying to trust, Lord, but the water's coming over the side of the boat, and it seems like you're asleep in the stern. Last summer, about this time, we were in Maine. and I don't really get out on big water very much living around here. The biggest piece of water I get on is probably Knapp Brook Pond number 2, or maybe the Connecticut River. And I've got this little 10-foot flat-bottom John boat that I think is the Titanic, unsinkable. And we were camping on a lake, and we took the boat out across the lake, about a mile, mile and a half of open water. And it was beautifully calm, no problem. I had a little electric trolling motor, really powerful. So, right, we're going across the lake at like 2 miles an hour. We get all the way across, we get behind these islands and go back into this little inlet area where the fishing is phenomenal. And we are just slaying these white perch, filling the bottom of the boat with that. And I don't know if you've eaten white perch, but it's delicious. You fillet them, deep fry those fillets. So good, right? And we're in this little protected inlet cove area, and I'm watching the clouds, and I'm thinking, yep, I get a mile and a half of open water to cross, and that doesn't look good. And the tops of the trees are starting to bend over from the wind, and I'm realizing the wind is blowing down the length of the lake, and we've got to cross it against the waves coming from the side of the boat. And I said to Noah, look at the time, I think we should probably get back. And so, you know, we fire up the little trolling motor, we head out towards the edge of the cove, and it's a different world on the lake. Let me tell you. Out in the cove, we had little things like this. On the lake, it was like this, which doesn't look like much, but when your flat-bottom John boat only sits this high above the water when it's empty, and then when there's two fat guys in it, then it's like this, right? And we're thinking, man, we got to get across this. What are we going to do? I don't want to spend the night on this side of the lake, waving at my wife a mile and a half away at the camper. I had just broken my ribs. I couldn't row very well because of that. And so we're like, yeah, we'll be fine. So we set out across the water, and the waves start beating against the side of the boat, and they're crashing over the bow. We're trying to go diagonally to them. The boat is filling with water, and then the battery dies. It's like, really? And Noah's like, it's okay, Dad, I got it. And so he starts rowing. And because of the wind, it seems like we aren't going anywhere. We're just kind of maintaining against it. And so we started to pray. And it's funny that we relied on the battery. We relied on the rowing. You know, we relied on our own fear for a little while. And then finally we started to pray. And wouldn't you know, the wind died down just enough? And then just as we were getting back in to the protected area of the cove where we were camping on the other side of the lake, the wind kicked up again. Coincidence? Probably not. Needless to say, the fish was great. Yeah, we made it back with all of it. But, you know, the Lord is faithful. He takes care of us. So, in this gospel lesson in the book of Mark today, there's a few things that we can pick up out of this. There's a lot of things, but there's a few I'm going to point out. Jesus invites his disciples to go together. He doesn't, in this case, send them off on their own like he does a couple chapters later. It's another account where Jesus comes walking on the water and Peter goes out and joins him. Story for another time. But Jesus says, let's go. We're headed across. And he climbs in the back and zonks out, right? Invites them to go. They're headed out across the lake. And Jesus knew that their faith was about to be tested. They shoved off when things looked pretty good. And then this wind comes up and Jesus is asleep. If Jesus invites us and sends us, we can be assured that whatever we encounter along the way, there's a destination in mind. There's safe harbor with Christ. And no matter what blows up along the way, he's with us. So they set out. The weather's calm. It becomes stormy pretty quickly. And some people think that when we're invited to go on this journey with Christ, that when he calls us, when we hear his voice, and when we obey and follow, everything's going to be fine. There's going to be no waves, no troubles, no bumps, no problems, no storms, no persecution, no sickness, no poverty, no difficulties with health, that we're all going to live in peace and prosperity, and everything's going to be fine. You know, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, we're all following Jesus, this is great. But that's really a false promise. We're never promised that there will be no storms. We are promised that we will never be alone in them. Right? Does Christ calm storms? Absolutely. A lot of times, is he just with us in them? Absolutely. And what do we learn through that? We learn to trust. We learn faith. We learn obedience. We learn, importantly, that he is faithful, even when we are not. He never takes his eyes off us, even when we take our eyes off him. So the wind is against the disciples, right? The sea is rough. The waves are battering against the boat. The disciples were probably tempted to change direction. They probably had this little conversation. He's asleep. He won't even notice. Let's just turn around and go back. They were believing Jesus. They were following Jesus. And they didn't change their direction. They continued on despite what was happening. They were struggling in their obedience to Jesus. And they were probably wondering what was going to happen to them, right? And that kind of bears out in what they say to him partway through this account. Did Jesus see their troubles? Or were they out of sight, out of mind? Jesus is asleep at the stick, not paying attention, not knowing. So Jesus commissions them, right? He sends them, but he goes with them. That's the way missioning with the Lord works. He sends us, but he goes with us, right? So they head out across. Something else that we can pick up from this is that Jesus is with us in our adversity, whatever that adversity may be. It may seem like he wasn't there to the disciples. And you can kind of see that when they finally freak out, right? And they say, and I love the King James, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" It's like, man, they were really coming to the end. They were coming unglued. But he was still right there with them in the midst of what was happening. And he kind of allows them to struggle a little bit, right? He doesn't just fix it right away. If he knew this was going to happen, why didn't he just calm the wind in the first place? How many times do we ask those why questions in our lives? What's the point of that, God? If you have control over this, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to my loved one? I was talking with someone this morning. Why was Lazarus allowed to die? Jesus loved him. Right? It says right in the account. So that God would receive glory and that we would know that Jesus has the power over life and death. There was a bigger purpose to it that maybe didn't make sense to us, but the Lord was working there. So to show God's glory, to increase our faith, to teach us to trust Him, the Lord will use any circumstance in our lives and turn it around. You know, Scripture says all things work together for good, and people often stop there. But the rest of that verse is to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Right? So Jesus knew that there was going to be this contrary wind. He knew that there were going to be waves coming over the side of the boat. And he knew that the disciples were going to freak out. And he knew that he was going to have a nice nap. Don't ever think for a second that Jesus doesn't know your condition or see where you're at in life. He knows. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you in person by name right now as you seek to walk out what He has called you to walk out. He has saved us. He is saving us. He will save us. Jesus has commanded us to go. He is praying for us. He sees us in our struggles. And Scripture tells us that we have a great high priest who is able to sympathize with us in all of our weaknesses. No matter where we are or what is happening, He gets it. He walked it before us and didn't fail. So, Jesus invites us to go with Him. He's with us in our adversity. And He hears us when we cry out to Him. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Put that with a nice proper British voice, right? Master, carest thou not that we perish? No, that's not how they said it. They were freaking out. Jesus, the boat is sinking. What are you doing? You're asleep. Wake up. Come on, man. You just hear it now, right? No. When they finally came to the end. I know, right? Sorry, I didn't mean to quote Joe. When they finally come to the end of themselves, none of their rowing is working, none of their bailing is working, none of their murmuring and their muttering and their complaining is working anymore, they realize that they need Jesus or they're going to die. They're going to drown right there in the lake with Him asleep at the stern. And they cry out from this deep, deep place, where they've got nothing left. Their backs are against the sea. Jesus wakes up. He calms everything down. He not only calms the storm around them, He calms the storm in their hearts as well. And what a lesson do they learn? Jesus comes when we have exhausted all our earthly efforts and finally realize there is no way for us to be saved except through Him. Jesus tells us, "Do not fear." And He asks us to have faith in the midst of circumstances to do the impossible. Because when we do, There is no other explanation for it besides that the living God showed up and did something in power that we could not do in our own strength. Jesus says to us, don't be afraid. He asks us to have faith in the midst of circumstances that are just amazing. And so God teaches us to trust Him. Do you like the storms? Not me. I'd rather have some calm, flat water and good fishing. Thank you. Water over the side of the boat makes for a good sermon illustration, but in the moment, not fun. The Lord teaches us to trust Him through these things, though. We need to remember that He's redeemed us by His death and resurrection. He is the sovereign Lord of the universe. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. And not only that, we're not alone here. He sent us His Holy Spirit, the Comforter who indwells us, who guides us through this darkness, through whatever the storm it is, the wind, the wrestling against the things that inhibit our walk with Christ. The Holy Spirit trains us to grow in faith and to trust Jesus with all that we are and all that we have. So all the people in Scripture today have stories of how God impacted their lives. They may not have known why in the moment they were going through what they were going through. If you read in the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus calms this storm, you know what the very next thing is? The very next thing that Jesus does? He delivers this guy of demons. It was an amazing work of power. And don't you think that there would have been warfare spiritually coming against him to try to prevent that from happening? Because when Jesus worked that deed of power and delivered that guy, lots and lots and lots of people heard about it. Glory was given to God, and people started coming to faith and following Jesus when that happened. When stuff happens in our lives, sometimes it's not just natural wind and waves. Sometimes it's because we are in the midst of a pitched spiritual battle, and the evil one would love to do nothing more than derail us and derail what God is asking us to do and the path He has set our feet on and distract us and blow us off course. But Jesus stands up, peace be still, dead calm, power over the natural elements, power over the demonic forces at work. There's nothing that is more powerful than the resurrection power of Jesus Christ at work in our lives. What an encounter Job had with God, right? If you haven't read it, go back and read the whole thing. We have just a little taste today. What a statement is made in the epistle lesson about how dramatically a life has changed when we follow Jesus Christ. Everybody has a story of encountering with God at one point or another in their lives. For some people, this story leads to a place where they decide that they're going to follow Jesus. Who He is to them, how they met Him, how Jesus changed them. And so I ask you today, have you trusted in Jesus Christ for your salvation? Are you struggling against storms and winds of life? Are you wondering whether Jesus has forgotten His commission, whether He has forgotten that you are struggling against the wind and the waves, pulling with all your might on those oars and the water still coming in the sides? Have you asked the question, does He know? Does He understand? Does He care? Why is He not coming? It seems like He's asleep. He's forgotten. Let me tell you, He comes at the right time, at the right moment. The right time is His time, not our time. And it's so we can learn to trust Him, and we can learn to have faith. For those of us who are in Christ, you know, He holds our souls in eternity, and He holds us as we walk this life by faith. So I want to ask you, what's your story? What's your story with the Lord? The next few weeks, we're going to be looking at this question. We're going to be looking at stories of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to hear stories of faith from people that are alive today. Like real flesh and blood people are going to walk in here and tell you how Christ has changed them. We're also going to look at stories of faith from Scripture. And we're going to ask the question, what's our story? Through that, some of us are going to learn how to share our story, right? Some of us are going to learn that I have part of a story, but maybe not the rest of the story yet with Jesus. But we're going to learn how the Lord is at work in our lives and the nature of God and how He loves us and how He works through everything in our lives to save us and to bring us into relationship with Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you even for the storms in our lives. It's easy to thank you for storms when we're in the harbor. Lord, may we thank you even in the midst of the storms that we are experiencing now as we trust you and know that you will lead us safely to the other side. Help us to learn to trust you, increase our faith. Thank you for your provision in our lives, for saving us, for not leaving us powerless and alone, but for sending your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for each one here that you would awaken in us a hunger to press into you, a hunger to worship you, a thirst to read your word that would not be satisfied until we are filled with living water from you, so full that it spills out and that our story runs out to others around us and helps to point others to you. Thank you for meeting with us today. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Jesus. Amen.